Or most of you by this time, that in the 18th verse of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the devil is mentioned. We have been thinking quite a lot recently about what the devil has power to do. And latterly, we have been contemplating the teaching of the Word of God along the line of Satan as the hinderer. Satan has power to hinder the child of God in different ways. If we look at the context here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I think we may suggest that in verse 15, for example, and we would include verse 14 there, but we will look at verse 15. We may say that Satan often hinders the work of God by stirring up persecution. That's what he did here. In Thessalonica and in all Judea, there was certainly the wrath of the devil stirred up against the work of God. Now the devil was using these unconverted enemies of the truth. He was using the Jews who, in their bitter prejudice, were so opposed to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was using these men to strike at the people of God. And we may emphasize that the devil will hinder the work of God if he can by stirring up persecution, physical opposition against the child of God. Undeniably, that's in the context here. The devil was afflicting these people in Thessalonica. It was just a new work started in Thessalonica. These believers were but babes in Christ. And already Paul's writing to them, talking about the devil and his work, how Satan has hindered, how the devil has struck a blow at the people of God. And the devil certainly hinders God's work at times by stirring up the wrath of the enemy. You will also learn in verse 16 that the devil may hinder God's work by trying to prevent any kind of witness being made to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil wants to close the mouth of the child of God. It is certainly the devil's work to say to the child of God, "Now be quiet. Hush up. Don't be mentioning the Lord here. Otherwise there will be great difficulty. Otherwise you will be in a great deal of bother. Otherwise there will be some hindrance and obstruction. What good will you do? How can you influence these people anyway? How can you win them? Do you think that these people will be saved? No, you had better be quiet." I believe that's the devil's work. You see there, the first word of verse 16 is, "forbidding us to speak." That's the devil's work. The devil does not want any kind of witness to the Lord. In your life, believer, this is how Satan will endeavor to hinder. He will try to hinder you by preventing you from being a witness. Forbidding you to speak. He'll use any means in his power to achieve that. Forbidding us to speak. That's how the devil hinders. And furthermore, as we have pointed out in verse 18, and we don't desire really to develop it further, the devil hinders the work of God by keeping the saints apart. He'll drive a wedge in between you and the beloved brother in Christ, or he will actively hinder you from attending the house of God, just as he hindered Paul and Paul's companions from getting up there to Thessalonica and joining the church of God at Thessalonica. I know that the devil hinders God's people in that way. Oftentimes, he will keep you busy on prayer meeting night, throw in many obstacles, and hinder you from getting to the place where God's people are in prayer. He will hinder you from joining in with the church. And so obviously, these things are right there on the surface of these verses. And in verse 18, as you know, Paul uses the word, "Satan hindered us." Child of God, we must open our eyes. We need to learn what Satan is about. So when we go to Zechariah chapter 3, where we took some verses in reading this morning, you will observe straight away that that is the thought in verse 1 of Zechariah chapter 3. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. We need to open our eyes. We need to see, as the prophet does here, when the Lord shows him something of the devil's operations. We need to see how Satan works. We need to be aware that the devil is the hinderer. Oftentimes, we see no further than the outward circumstances. If we come to pray and find it hard, well, we maybe blame the prayer meeting. And we fail to see that the devil may be the hinderer. Satan hinders the child of God then at prayer. That's another way Satan hinders. Already we have spoken of discouragement and depression. How Satan, by bringing the child of God into times of anxiety or distress of mind, can prove to be a hinderer. Satan hinders the child of God then in so many ways. But here we have the devil hindering the child of God at prayer. Satan hinders the child of God when he is about the business of seeking God. Satan is a hinderer at prayer. I do not wish to stay too long with this passage, but if you look at verse 4, you'll see how the command of the Lord is, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. Now when sin is unconfessed, unlamented, and unjudged in the believer's life, there is opportunity given to the devil to slip in and use his power to intrude, to hinder the child of God. We give the devil an opportunity to work in our lives when we permit sin to remain unjudged. Oh, we're familiar with those Bible verses like Psalm 66 and 18, which says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Believer, we must emphasize that. Sin is just as hateful to God today as ever it was. Sin is as much a hindrance to the child of God today as it was any time in history. And despite the fact that our Lord Jesus suffered at Calvary, despite the fact that he shed his blood there on the tree, sin is still a hindrance and a blight to the people of God. You cannot permit sin to reign in your body that you should abide in the lust thereof. You cannot permit sin to abide in your heart and come off the better for it. When there's sin there, unjudged and unlamented and unconfessed in your life, you're giving the devil an opportunity. And here is how the devil gets in here, standing at the right hand of this man to resist him, because there was sin there that needed to be put away. Oh, child of God, if there's sin in your heart, that the Lord has been speaking to you now, and he has been speaking to you about this thing now for quite a long time, it's time to put it away. You're giving the devil an opportunity to hinder you even at prayer. Let's turn to the book of Daniel. And Satan can not only hinder the child of God when he is at prayer, but Satan also will hinder the child of God from advancing in Christian knowledge. The devil will hinder you from coming to know your Bible. The devil will hinder you from reading the Word of God. And the devil will hinder you in your desire to know more of the truth of God. Now, we have many of God's people today who lament, I don't know the Bible as I ought. I'm not reading the Bible as I ought. I'm not getting enough from my Bible. I'm not benefiting by what I read in my Bible. Somehow I read the Word of God and I fail to get anything out of the book that I ought to get. Now the devil can hinder the child of God when he seeks to know the mind of God. The devil can hinder the child of God when he endeavors to learn more from the Lord. The devil will hinder you when you're at your Bible there for study and meditation. Daniel chapter 10. And Daniel had been at prayer. Earlier in the 9th chapter in verse 3, we had read, Daniel set his face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And so he prayed unto the Lord. Now Daniel was looking for an answer to that prayer. And the answer was delayed. And even that was due to Satan's work. It would seem from these verses here that Daniel's prayer was answered. But the devil was so busy operating against God's servant that he was holding back the answer. Now Daniel had received visions from the Lord. And he pondered in his heart just what these things could mean for God's people. Verse 10 of Daniel chapter 10. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. Oh, when the child of God is prostrated before the Lord, it's a good thing to have the hand of the Lord upon you. Daniel was thrown on his face. He felt himself a mass of corruption in the presence of God. The more he saw the Lord, the more he felt himself to be corrupt and unclean. The nearer he got to the Lord, the more he felt himself to be a mass of corruption. And Daniel, this man beloved, threw himself on his face toward the ground. The Lord touched him and put him on his knees. Oh, that's what we want to pray for today. The Lord will so touch us that we will be on our knees at the feet of Jesus. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. Now the Lord put him on his knees, and after a bit, the Lord would put him on his feet. That seems to be the right order spiritually for the child of God. Before ever you can stand on your feet, on your own feet, for the Lord and in the things of God, you would need a wee while on your knees first. And that's the order to be followed here. Daniel's on his knees, and the Lord has put him on his knees just to prepare him to stand. And now he's on his feet. Stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. I notice this. I from the first day the Lord had set his eye upon him. From the first day this man had turned to God in prayer. From the very first day when he had endeavored to seek after God, the eye of the Lord was upon him. God's ear was open to his cry. When was that day? Why, we have been reading of it in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God from the very first day that he set himself to seek the Lord. Now, the child of God needs purpose in prayer. He needs to set himself to pray. You're not going to pray with any effect, with any blessing, I believe, unless you set yourself to pray. Attendance at the prayer meeting, help from God in the prayer meeting isn't just going to come like a letter through the letterbox, delivered without any effort on our part. But the child of God must set himself. Must set yourself to this business. You must purpose in your heart. You're going to see God. There must be then holy resolve. There must be firm decision. There must be sure determination on the part of the child of God. I'm going to pray. Daniel set himself to seek the Lord. He wasn't carried along on the tide. The Lord didn't send four angels to get a hold of Daniel and bring him to the place of prayer. No, Daniel sent himself. The child of God must do the same. we're hardly so high up the spiritual ladder as Daniel. And if Daniel had to set himself to pray, how much more the child of God will have to do this? And Daniel sets the example. Every child of God must follow in the steps of Daniel and adopt the pattern of Daniel. And likewise, set himself. He must set himself to pray. And child of God, you'll not be at the prayer meeting by accident. Nor will you pray day by day by accident. You must set yourself to pray. And Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 reads, "From the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy word. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. So there was a delay. There was a hindrance. Over 3 weeks. 3 weeks from the time Daniel had sought the Lord. And right from the very first, the intimation is, your words were heard, Daniel. Your cry was recognized in heaven right from the first day. But there was opposition. And here is mention of the powers of darkness. The devil's agents, if not the devil himself, is identified here by the words, the prince of the kingdom of Persia. There was satanic power here that was brought into play, hindering the answer from being brought. And Daniel's purpose was, remember, to find out what God was saying. Daniel's desire was to be instructed of the Lord. And Satan's activity is seen hindering Daniel from getting to know the Lord. Verse 14. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. I am come. And later on in the chapter, verse 19, said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. Oh, praise the Lord. Every time we have communion with the Lord in the heavenlies, every time God breaks in mighty power and speaks to our souls, we are strengthened. That's our prayer today, that the Lord will so speak to us and so refresh us as we gather at His feet, that we will be strengthened. You ought to be the better for having come to the house of God. And said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. So Daniel entreated the Lord to speak to him. Daniel sought a word from the Lord. Thou hast strengthened me. Verse 21, but I will show thee that which is noted, or that which is written. Note it down. That which is written in the Scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. And Michael is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ here, one who stands up for his people. And the angel of God is saying to Daniel, there is no other one with me but the one who stands up for the people of God. And in this battle, there is a battle being fought to prevent you from getting to know the truth. And I know there's a battle for the truth today. When you consider the ecumenical apostasy, the fearful downgrade of the World Council of Churches, this is nothing less than a battle being fought for the truth of God. Every ecumenical Bible that is being issued to pervert the truth, to confuse the minds of the people of God, to hinder souls from getting to the cross. And that's the object behind any publishing house removing the blood from the book, to thwart the preaching of the gospel. And that group of men can only do the devil's work, which decides to remove the blood from the book. There's a battle being fought for the truth of God. And certainly it is Satan's power to hinder. It is Satan's desire to hinder God's people today from knowing the truth, to hinder them in their desire to find out the truth of God. There's a battle for the truth. And Satan is seen here holding back the answer. I shouldn't wonder what the devil tries to hold back the answer when they cry to the Lord for revival. We must pray for this province of ours. And surely if Satan has any way of access at all to the channel along which the answer to prayer will come, he will seek to hinder that too. But for a fact, in Daniel chapter 10, Satan is hindering God's servant from getting to know more about that which is written. I hope that you see that. That's so important that in verse 21, the battle was all about that which was written or noted. That which was written in the Scripture of truth. It was Satan's object then to hinder God's servant from observing and profiting by those things that were written in the Scripture of truth. The devil doesn't want you to read your Bible. The devil doesn't want you to meditate in the Word of God, the prophet of souls. The devil is against that. Satan hinders the people of God by blocking them in their study of that which is written in the Scripture of truth. Let's turn to another Scripture passage and learn how Satan works. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6. 1 Timothy 3, verse 6. Satan will desire to move the child of God to pride and to thoughts of self-esteem if he can. Verse 6, 1 Timothy 3, not a novice, not a servant of God who's going to take responsibility in the house of the Lord. He ought not to be a novice. This chapter here concerns the office of the eldership in particular. And the elder should not be a novice. He should be a person with some experience in life. He's not to be a novice, lest, being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Thus, if the devil can engineer the child of God into such a position that he will have his heart lifted up, that he will have his heart filled with pride, thoughts of self-esteem or vanity, then he'll fall into the condemnation of the devil. He'll fall the same way the devil did. He'll lose out with God. And there's no doubt but that Satan moves the child of God to thoughts of pride. We can see examples of this in the Bible. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 1. 2 Samuel 24. Here is a case involving David. And the devil moved David with thoughts of pride in his heart. Oh, how can the child of God escape this particular snare of the devil? Seeing pride is a matter that oftentimes involves the thoughts of the heart and the feelings of the soul. You can be caught away by your own pride without realizing it. You can be carried away with thoughts of self-esteem and vanity without being aware of it. Satan will cause your heart to be inflated with pride. Your own pride can prove to be such an obstacle. And that in itself, that pride, prompted by the devil. Now, I'm not saying that the devil can make any man sin. Well, I am saying that Satan will try and create the right kind of circumstances to lead you into wrongdoing. He'll certainly tempt you to wrongdoing. And Satan will move you in pride. Verse 1 of 2 Samuel 24, and again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he moved David against them. And the margin says there, Satan. And you can see that there's evidence of that, as the margin will show in the reference 1 Chronicles 21:1, where the same incident is retold, and this time Satan's name is put into the chapter. Satan stood up against Israel. That's in Chronicles there, 1 Chronicles 21:1. So this time he moved them. The devil got in. When the anger of the Lord, I'd have you note, was kindled against Israel. I'm not certain that we can say just what the cause of that anger was. what there had been in the lives of God's people that proved to provoke the Lord. But there was something there that grieved the Lord. There was something there that stirred up the Lord to anger. And the Lord withdrew His presence from His people. And that gave the devil room to operate. Listen, child of God, you need God's presence. I remember a man saying to me one time, having heard me pray for the presence of the Lord in the place, he said, you don't need to pray for the presence of God. The Lord has promised to be with His people all the time. The Lord has promised in His Word, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And God has promised, and I think that was the verse He did quote, that verse in Matthew, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst. You don't need to pray for the presence of God, for the Lord has given us the promise, and He will never break His Word. Well, I had some things to say to him, and certainly we can only reflect on God's Word and remember that the child of God can get away from God's presence. Moses prayed for the presence of God. And we ought to recognize that many times we have promises in God's Word and still God's people had to pray for the fulfillment of those promises. In Daniel 9 and 3, we were reading this morning how Daniel set himself to pray. But God had already promised to answer the prayer he was praying. Namely, God had already promised the deliverance of God's people. And God had already said, the people will be in captivity for 70 years. And after that, their captivity will be at an end. They will return to their own land. And Daniel was praying at the end of 70 years for the turning again of God's people to their own land. And Daniel had to pray that the Lord would be pleased to fulfill that word, lest by our own carelessness we should lose out with God. No, the people of God cannot lull themselves into a false security. We could then say that it would be impossible for the Church of Jesus Christ to be corrupted or to get away from God. For we could have argued then, did not the Lord promise always to be with His people? There never would have been apostasy. There never would have been backsliding. But oh, I tell you, because there is backsliding and because there is apostasy, God's people need to pray for the presence of the Lord with them every day. And God's saints prayed for the presence of the Lord. David prayed for the presence of God as well as Moses when he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, he longed for the presence of God. And the child of God needs God's presence. There never would have been apostasy in the Church of Jesus Christ if God's people could have got along without prayer. The devil doesn't want you to pray for God's presence. Oh, I think all of us, when we gather like this around God's Word, we need to pray, Lord, come and stand in the midst. When the Lord withdraws from His people, that gives the devil an opportunity to get in. And David numbered the people just for his own reasons of pride and foolishness. He says in verse 2, the last line, that I may know the number of the people. Last week we were reading in Ephesians chapter 4, where in verse 30 we have the words, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Where in verse 27 we read, give no place to the devil. Did you ever think of putting those two verses together? Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Give no place to the devil. The child of God who grieves the Holy Spirit is giving place to the devil. When you grieve the Lord, you may cause the Lord to withdraw the sense of His presence from you. You're giving the devil opportunity to get in. You're giving place to the devil. That warning, give no place to the devil, is not there for nothing. It's not in the Bible just to fill up a space. It's a very real warning. And if it means anything, it does mean that the child of God can give the devil an opportunity to wreck his life, to ruin him spiritually. You can give the devil the opportunity to get in. You can give place to the devil. And when you grieve the Holy Spirit by your wrongdoing, you're allowing the devil access to your life. And when the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and the presence of the Lord was withdrawn in a manifest sense, gave the devil room to get in and bring blight and ruin and heartache to the people of God. Take Acts chapter 5, or in the case of Ananias and Sapphira. And I'll bring the meeting to a close by making this reference to verse 3. Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" Don't we have there a thought of pride, of self-esteem, self-importance, self-promotion? Oh, the devil can get in so easily. The child of God can't be on his guard too much, especially here in this realm, where thinking of yourself, you can let the devil in. It was so important to Ananias to be regarded with a degree of esteem among the people of God. Remember, the Bible doesn't say whether Ananias was saved or not. Ananias may have been an unconverted man posing as a Christian. He may well have been that. Ananias may have been a false professor. He could be in hell today, for all we know. But he was there among the people of God just to see him. He was in the assembly of God's saints, I will have you recognize. He professed to be saved. He made the profession that he knew the Lord. And yet Satan got in there and filled his heart. Now we can never discern the heart. We can never know finally and infallibly who the Lord's people are. For the Lord knoweth them that are His. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks only on the heart. There's Ananias. And the devil has him there among the people of God, filling his heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. Why? Just thoughts of his own importance. Self-esteem. Vanity of mind. To promote himself. How many times we can be affected for ourselves, our pride can be punctured. And if we look at the thing, oh, we may argue it's for the Lord and for His glory, but if we look at the thing, it may just be our pride. Just our pride is such. And if we act out of pride, even for the Lord's cause, if we act out of pride and self-esteem to defend ourselves, to uphold ourselves, and oftentimes, believer, we can get to that place where we'll do that. Then we surrender to the devil. We give place to the devil. We give the devil an opportunity to get in. Satan is a hinder. In Romans 16 and 20, I think the reference is, the Bible tells us how God will bruise Satan under our feet. 1 John 3 and 8 tells us how the Lord Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. In Colossians chapter 2, we read how Jesus Christ spoiled principalities and powers at the cross. He spoiled the devil at the tree. Our Lord Jesus shed His own blood to give victory to the saints of God. There's victory for you. There's protection for you in the precious blood of the Lamb. Let's hold fast to these truths. Let's ever stand on redemption ground. Let's plead the precious blood against the devil and all his devices. Let's not surrender to the devil. Child of God, let's end on that note today. Give no place to the devil. Don't yield an inch to the devil. Don't surrender one inch of truth. Don't surrender one inch of ground. In the place of prayer, in gospel witness, and in gospel preaching, don't surrender territory to the devil. Let's occupy victory ground. Let's bow in prayer.
as we bow in God's presence today, let's ask the Lord for His protecting hand upon us. Let's pray for God's power in our lives. Our gracious and loving Father, we thank Thee that Thou dost care for us. You have shown us how Satan works. You did show the prophet how Satan would stand in the secret place to resist him. And you showed him these things so that he could understand better the need to get through with God in the secret place. How he could never afford to take for granted the matter of prayer. And Lord, we come today knowing that we're in a battle. We can't take for granted that we will have the victory. For Thou hast told us to be sober and to be vigilant. And we pray today that Thou wilt enable us to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the devil, and having done all, to stand. Bless Thy saints today. Protect each child of Thy love. Bless us, Lord, and be with us in going out and coming in these days. And we pray for a safe going forth and a safe return for each child of Thy love. Hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.